You're listening to New Hampshire Now with Chris Ryan, presented by the New Hampshire College and University Council.
Welcome back here on New Hampshire Now, 1-9-1450 and nhtalkradio.com. I am Chris Ryan. Appreciate joining us for the program. This hour of New Hampshire Now is brought to you by Urban Community Mental Health. In this segment of the show, presented by Paradigm Plumbing, Heat, and Air Conditioning, that's who my family trusts to call for all our plumbing, heat, and air conditioning needs. I encourage you to experience the Paradigm Shift by checking out ParadigmPH.com. As you know, we've been covering the presidential primary at the start, and it's going to get even more interesting as we continue on through the process. And we're going to be joining the program right now for the first time by the mayor of South Bend, Indiana. He is Pete Buttigieg, as he joins us on the show to discuss his announcement that he is exploring a run for president of the United States. Pete, how are you?
Very good, thanks. Appreciate being on.
Awesome. Appreciate you joining us for the show. First off, kind of lay out your rationale for why you've decided to take a look at this and, you know, what your campaign is going to look like and focus on.
Well, the foundation of the case is that we need a new generation of leadership right now. I belong to the millennial generation, one that is the generation that provided most of the people who fought in the wars after 9/11, including me as an Afghanistan veteran, but also the generation that's going to be picking up the bill for some of the decisions that are being made right now in Washington. And I think we need a different kind of outlook. It's very clear that we would not be where we are in the politics of this country if the system, both economically and politically, had not let us down in recent years. I think we have a chance to change that and to focus on the values and the issues people really care about. And I'm excited to come to New Hampshire and other states and really get into a dialogue about what's on people's minds the most and how that lines up with the values I think we need to be focusing on in the 2020 conversation.
Well, Mayor Pete, it's Paul Steinhauser along with Chris Ryan, the New Hampshire political reporter. You just mentioned that. So when do you think we may see you here in New Hampshire and in the other early states?
Yeah, very soon. I'm looking forward to it. We've been having some conversations with folks in state about the best time and place to get there, and can't wait, and it won't be long.
Well, those of us who cover national politics got to know you and a little bit back in early 2017 when you made a bid for the Democratic National Committee chair in that race. We also had our chairman up here, longtime Democratic chairman Ray Buckley, in that race
as well.
But to most Americans, you're not a household name, let's be honest. And I'm wondering how you now, if you go take the further step of declaring your candidacy, how you compete against some people who are, if not household names, at least a little bit better known. We have a bunch of top U.S. senators in the race. We may have the former vice president. So I'm wondering how you compete against them.
Well, one thing that's really interesting in this dynamic is that no one person or even two or three people seem to have been able to command a critical mass or a majority. And, you know, in my lifetime, two Democrats have made it to the White House, and what both of them have in common is that neither one of them was a very well-established or household name until fairly soon before they were actually running. I think, you know, ours is a party, especially at a moment like this, that is open to newcomers, that is looking for people who bring good ideas, and is less interested in kind of how familiar of a face you are, how famous you are on day one, or how much you're aligned with the establishment, and more interested in what you have to offer.
You mentioned that yours is a candidacy that will represent a generational shift. Do you feel that whether it's, you know, the baby boomers or Generation X as a whole has let down our society, and that there needs to be this passing of the torch to millennials? There's a focus in regards to the freshman group of Congress, the House of Representatives, and the change that they are bringing. I mean, does there need to be a generational shift in your view?
Well, frankly, I think part of what's at stake in a lot of political debates right now is justice between generations. You know, it's not okay to stick a new generation with the bill for reckless fiscal policy or ignoring climate or some of the other things that those in charge have done. And, you know, one interesting statistic I learned recently that I hadn't thought about is that Presidents Clinton and President George W. Bush and President Trump were all born within a few weeks of each other. So, you know, there's certainly one generation that's been in charge. You don't have to pit one generation against another. But I do believe that it's time for new voices to step in. And I belong to a party that has always taken those new voices seriously.
And you see an economic populism that has risen amongst millennials and has risen amongst really a lot of Americans outside of the generational category as well, that Bernie Sanders and Donald Trump were both able to have great success with, despite the fact that they were both born prior to the 1940s, and they were able to touch those folks with a message of economic populism, because millennials, to a large degree, were born and were suffering from elements of the Great Recession, and saw their parents lose money in the stock market, economic opportunity not be the same for them as the generation prior. So how do you connect to folks with a message of economic opportunity and prosperity, and what needs to be done to create that?
Well, for one thing, we can't keep tinkering around the edges. You know, I'm from the industrial Midwest, which is in many ways the epicenter of this debate and the emergence of that economic populism. And look, if the system was working for everybody, we wouldn't be here. It's obvious that there need to be some changes, especially for a generation like mine that's likely to change careers more often than my parents' generation changed jobs. Automation is here, and it's going to increase. Globalization is not going away. And we can't pretend like we can keep doing the same thing and get better results. I don't know that that's just a function of how old you are, but I do think the younger you are, the longer you're planning to be here. And if, like me, you're wondering what you'll do in 2054, when I reach the current age of the current president, then you're going to want policies and approaches that make sense for the long term. And I think anybody who wants to be taken seriously, frankly, in either party right now, needs to speak to that. And that's one of the things that we will continue discussing and listening on the road ahead.
Our chairman up here, Ray Buckley, who you know, he told me about a year and a half ago that he thought the next nominee or the next president would be somebody maybe under 50. I'm wondering, do you think a Joe Biden, a Bernie Sanders, an Elizabeth Warren, maybe a Jay Inslee, the Washington State governor who was here yesterday, do you think they're too old to be the standard bearer for the Democratic Party in 2020?
Yeah, you know, it's not for me to comment on any of the others other than to say that I'm not like the others. I bring a different perspective, a different life experience, and I think what's great about this process is everybody can bring what they have to offer to the table. One thing I did observe when I was first running for mayor, I was still in my 20s back then, at the beginning of the decade when I first launched that campaign, was actually seniors responded powerfully and favorably to the idea of a younger candidate emerging. So I think there's a lot to be said for that, too. And we'll just have to see what voters think is most important as we go forward. But I definitely believe that in this wide open field, it's not about how famous or how well-funded you are on day one. It's about what you bring to the table, what you have to offer, and also just how you conduct yourself along this path, which is, of course, where the early states have been so important, because you surface something different about somebody's qualities than you do in the kind of air war. You know, when you're in the living rooms, when you're in the backyards, when you're in the coffee shops, that's when I think a candidate learns the most about where voters are, and it's also where the public can learn the most about what a candidate is made of.
That is Mayor Pete Buttigieg joining us here on the New Hampshire Now program, the mayor of South Bend, Indiana, who is forming an exploratory committee to look at running for president of the United States. I have talked a lot before about having a mayoral experience is extremely important in my view, because that person is responsible and held accountable by voters on a day-in, day-out basis for just about everything that takes place in the town. You have to be responsive, and the buck truly stops with you. That being said, a jump from the mayoral office to the White House and the Oval Office seems to be a pretty big one. What are you going to say to folks when they ask you about the lack of experience outside of South Bend, Indiana? Of course, you have served on the battlefield as well in Afghanistan. But what are you going to say to them about your lack of experience outside of that particular office?
Well, I'm just puzzled by the idea that the United States Congress automatically ought to be considered a better place or a higher realm of responsibility than being on the front lines as a city executive. You know, when you're a mayor, you were responsible for everything, especially in the strong mayor system where I serve in Indiana. One minute it could be a Christmas tree lighting, the next minute it could be an officer-involved shooting. We deal with emergencies, we deal with hundreds of millions of dollar decisions right and left, and that kind of accountability, I think, is best aligned with executive office in general. To me, the presidency has three fundamental elements. One, to call people to their highest values. Two, to capably run an administration. And three, to implement good policies. And those are the kinds of things that a mayor does day in, day out. I don't mean any disrespect to the people who come to the House of Representatives and vote there, but there's just a difference between the experience you have if your job is to vote on legislation and the experience you have if your job is to hold a community together, to respond to emergencies, to plan for the road ahead. And between my experience overseas in Afghanistan, my experience at home in Indiana, and my experience traveling the country, spreading the story of what South Bend has been able to achieve and talking about the future of our economy nationally, I believe that I bring something that is just fundamentally different from what the others do. And I look forward to discussing my experience, even at my younger age, alongside that of the others.
The next president is going to have a lot to do and is going to have monumental challenges. One of those challenges is going to be bringing the country together, and we've seen the amount of divisiveness that exists in our society. The other is going to be something that both President Obama and President Trump ran on, and that is bringing fundamental change to the way that Washington, D.C. works. So in concluding here, those two key issues, bringing people together, how do you go about doing that? And the other element of bringing fundamental change to Washington, D.C., where many working Americans feel that the playing field has been tilted against them.
Well, Americans aren't wrong to feel that way. And when it comes to bringing change to D.C., I guess my argument would be, doesn't it make sense, since cities and local government and community work is probably the one level of our politics that's still working, wouldn't we want Washington to look a little more like what's going on in our best communities instead of the other way around? I don't think the solutions are going to come from Washington. I think the solutions are in American communities, and I think that's something that mayors in cities of any size live and breathe every day. And another thing, to get to the first part of your question, is that what mayors live and breathe is holding a community together. You know, South Bend is a largely low-income community. It is racially diverse, and we have had a lot of strains and stresses against our ability to stay together. When you get news of a racially charged officer-involved shooting, when you have a political controversy, you learn what it takes to call people to their highest values. I think that's the job of any leader, especially any leader in an executive role in government. And I look forward to continuing to discuss how what that means at the city level translates to a higher level, too.
Mayor Pete, appreciate your time and look forward to seeing you here in New Hampshire in the short term.
Sounds good. See you very soon, and thanks for having me.
All right, that is Mayor Pete Buttigieg joining us here on Hampshire Now, 1-9-1450 and nhtalkradio.com, the mayor of South Bend, Indiana. This hour of the program brought to you by the Prescription Center, and that segment of the show presented by Paradigm Plumbing and Air Conditioning. We'll come back with more after this.
You're listening to New Hampshire Now with Chris Ryan, presented by the New Hampshire College and University Council.